time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yes, 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 I'm back. Muhammad is away, so it is you and I again. Another one-on-one, you know, we here, we kicking it. How y'all doing? Y'all chilling? Okay. All right, well, that's what's up. That's good to hear. That's good to hear. I'm glad. I'm doing good myself. You know, I hope y'all had a good week. My week was chill. My week was chill. I guess this is where I recall all that I did, but I never remember. Half the time I need to go through my camera roll to see where I was and what I did. But I do remember being out this weekend in that cold ass weather. That cold ass winter storm. Not the winter storm, but shit, that just that fucking, what was it, about 6 degrees allegedly, 50 miles an hour winds. I knew going into the day that it was going to be crazy, but something was like, nah, I got to be outside. I wanted to go to the first Saturday of the season at the Brooklyn Museum, the Black History joint. So I was like, yeah, let me fall through there. It was cool. I had a good time. It was all right. It was cold as shit. It's cold as shit. I was all right. To be totally honest with you, I was all right. I found a nice little spot, not too far, so I didn't have to walk too crazy. My only regret was I forgot to bring my gloves, so my fingers were like straight hypothermia. I thought it was about to be over for the kid, but long story short, got there, got in the building. It was chill. It was chill. The people were in there. It was popping, especially on the third floor. You know, the little, if you ever been, the third floor, that's where they had like the little, I don't want to call it the ballroom, but yeah, I guess so, where everybody's like dancing and the DJ is playing and they selling food and different types of art and clothes and stuff like that. Like the, the bazaar area of it all, that and the, in the lobby, is probably the most high traffic areas. So up there, and that shit was rocking. Everything else was cool. You know what though? I'll be honest with you. I walked around a little bit. I didn't see too much interesting as far as exhibit wise. I did miss this one exhibit, this photography exhibit. I think it's called A Tactile Something. By the time I got to go to that spot, they were closing off the wing. It was just about time to get up out of there. And then by the time I was ready to leave, the coat check was on some Six Flags Great Adventure type thing. Like literally the line, you got cold. The line brought you out to right by the door. Like the line was crazy. It was, I felt like I was jumping on the screen machine or something. But overall it was cool. I'm glad I got out. Sometimes you just got to get outside, you know, even in the midst of Arctic blast. They say Mondami was there. I didn't see him. I guess he broke out before I got there. I was running a little late. I said I was running a little late, like me and Mondami was supposed to hang out and shit. It's funny though. I feel like Mondami, even, I don't say more than, but in a different capacity, he an outside governor. I mean, pardon, mayor. He's an outside mayor. Eric Adams is a very outside mayor. Whereas Eric Adams, I felt like I'd probably run into him at like a hookah lounge. Mondami, you feel like you might run into him at the first Saturdays, or you might run into him at some type of green market event. You know, like something that feels, I would say, substantial, but it's almost somewhat virtue signaling. You know what I mean? Like, I'm out here, I'm with y'all, but I'm doing these type of things. You know what I'm saying? I'm not with y'all right next to the DJ talking about, yo, nigga, play that French and Max B shit. That's my shit. A nigga went deaf on it. You know what I mean? Like, that ain't him. But, yeah, at some point, I'm gonna see the kid, though. You know, this is crazy. It's the first mayor I'm older than. You know what I mean? It's a wild dynamic. Like, look at this little young ass mayor. This little motherfucker trying to run the city. See this shit? Little man But yeah, this is the first time, dog, get older, man. I'm older than a lot of different type of people. Mayors included. So yeah, I did that. Did that Saturday. Always feels good getting back to the crib when it's cold as shit. You know, after a cold night, you get back to the house, feel good. So came back to the spot. Next day, Super Bowl. I was excited about the Super Bowl, but I knew I was going to just chill. I was going to, you know, I wasn't going to do too much because, as y'all know, the Super Bowl for me is like a, that's like the Thanksgiving of gluttony. If I'm not careful, I could go crazy. I've done it in years past where I need something ridiculous to eat. Yeah, I don't say ridiculous, but I typically, I'm either going to do some pizza or like a crazy hero, you know what I mean? Like a bunch of other just snacks, odds and ends, you know what I mean? Like just a, like a spread. But this year I was like, well, I already went grocery shopping probably about a week ago. Whatever I got in there is whatever I got in there. I'm not trying to run up in the grocery store this close to the Super Bowl. It's going to be a little too hectic. And you know what? I'm going to go to my pizza spot. I'm going to get me like a nice little, maybe a medium pie, something, you know what I mean? And what I don't eat, I'm going to freeze. So that was the plan. I wake up. You know, start my day a little late because yesterday that shit was bone chilling, so I had to extend my cuddle. You know what I mean? I had to get warm for a while. My hibernation on, so boom, I'm waking up. I'm rousing from my slumber, and then so I go and check my little pizza spot on Super Bowl Sunday. They weren't open. What pizza shop? And this is a thriving pizza shop as far as I can see. Even though they do have sporadic hours, but like I used them last Super Bowl. That's what made me say, yo, that's a go-to. They were clutch last Super Bowl. I'm gonna rock with them this Super Bowl. I'm like, yo, what kind of pizza shop is not open on Super Bowl Sunday? I feel like that's easy money. That's leaving money on the table. What is going on? I don't know. I hope they all right. I was annoyed and a little concerned. That's how I know I'm getting older. You know what I mean? I be cutting my frustration with empathy now. I was like, yeah, you know, hopefully they all right. I hope they ain't doing bad. Because, I mean, for sure, a pizza shop not open on Super Bowl Sunday, it just doesn't line up. So hopefully they all right. You know, but that also made me start looking at, because then I had to go out and kind of, you know, run a bit of an audible. And then I was like, you know what? I got some lunch meat in here. I might just make me a nice little hero. Let me go to the grocery store down the block. Go to the grocery store down the block. Go get a nice little, a roll of hero bread or something. And, you know, and it wasn't even that late. Maybe about 2, which I guess is late for Super Bowl Sunday. I got to the spot. All of the heroes, all of the roles were done. It was like maybe 1 or 2 left. And those joints, I never trust the 1 or 2 left because either they're going to be stale or in my mind, I think they might have fell. Somebody might have dropped them and threw them back in the thing. You never know. So I ain't want that shit. I think so I figured, I was like, you know what? I just rigged some shit. I basically made made some sandwiches using some Pillsbury grands. I let them shits cool down a little bit, and that became like my sandwich bread. Shit was fine. It worked out. It was good enough. You know what I mean? So that was chill.
I was going to say something else.
Oh, while I was walking, noticed Chinese food restaurant in my neighborhood, they weren't closed. They typically not open on Sundays no more. But it made me start to think like, or really it just kind of reminded me, there's a lot of businesses, small businesses out here struggling. You know what I mean? Like struggling, like the businesses that seem to, I don't want to say thrive, but like they were doing okay. They were hanging on, and a lot of, you know, a lot of places are shutting down. A lot of places, you know, I was just talking about, I was out in Queens last week. RIP to the Coliseum. The Coliseum is closed. The Coliseum has been there forever and ever and ever and ever, you know, and it's like, damn, it's over. They shut it down. All of them little stalls, all those stores up in there, gone. You know, it's just like, wow. It's an interesting time. It's a really interesting time, seriously. But so I made the little joints, the little sandwiches on Grands. And watch the Super Bowl. Watch the Super Bowl. You know, I wasn't really excited about the Super Bowl outside of, you know, seeing what Bad Bunny was going to do. And honestly, watching Bad Bunny was probably the best thing about the Super Bowl. That Super Bowl was super weak. It was just, yeah, they were. It was a defense Super Bowl somewhat. They were hedging both teams. They weren't really, it wasn't too much. A lot of running, a lot of snot-nosed football, I guess, if you want to call it that. You know what I mean? A lot of running. Nobody was really airing it out like that too much. You know, Seattle was the pick anyway. People felt like they were the favorite, the whatever, you know, the opposite of the underdog. So they won, but it wasn't even nothing crazy. The only cool thing about it, though, was to see New England being shut out. They was at a goose egg for three quarters damn near. And, you know, I don't give a fuck about New England. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel no type of way about seeing them lose. So, you know, it is what it is. They got beat. And then, it was what it was. It was a regular-ass football game. I've noticed, I forget what, was it last? I don't think it was the last, maybe it was last season's Super Bowl. Or, no, it wasn't last season's Super Bowl. It was when the, what's the team with Shea? Oklahoma Thunder. The Oklahoma Thunder, when they won the finals, and then now with this new Seattle team winning the finals, this new generation of winners, they don't talk enough shit. You don't even got to be super cocky or obnoxious or disrespectful, but like sound excited. Sound like you just won the fucking Super Bowl. You just won the NBA finals. They just so mild-mannered. The shit is fucking, it is anticlimactic as fuck. First of all, this shit was a boring ass Super Bowl. At least say something. Even when they shouted out the 12, that's what they call their fans. Even that shit sound obligatory. And then shout out to the 12. You guys, you helped us. You know, everything's just so real well articulated. Feel like they had a damn job interview and don't want to really show no true personality. Trying to cover up who they really are. Yo, y'all just won the fucking Super Bowl. Yo, I'm just thinking about that. They don't even go to Disney World no more. I don't know when Disney got out of there. That must have happened a while ago. I guess. I mean, it was on, what's on Peacock, NBC. Disney's down with ABC and 7 and all of that and whatever, ESPN. I guess they don't. I don't know, but that used to be the thing. What are you doing? I'm going to Disney World. You know, that was the corporate excitement. Let's talk about Bad Bunny, his performance, his halftime. I enjoyed that shit. I thought it was cool. I thought the motherfucker is cool as a fan, smooth. You know, I don't really know Bad Bunny's music outside of like peripherally. Now I hear it sometimes. It triggers a Shazam sometimes. Like, what's this? Oh, there's another Bad Bunny joint. You know, I've tried to like sit down with some of it, but I don't think I've never made it through the album. You know, I got friends of mine that love them. You know what I mean? Shout out to my man Sparky Griswold. He was like one of the first cats. Him and his wife Lily, they were early. I mean, I don't know early, but they was like the first people that was like, yo, nah, Bad Bunny is him. Listen to this, listen to this, listen to this. I still got the pod. I mean, not the pod. I still got the playlist I made of the joints. And I listened to it. It was fine. You know what I mean? It was fine. It wasn't, it's not for me. It's not whack, but it's not for me. You know, but what I do like about Bad Bunny is I like the fact that he stand on his shit. Like, he, listen, I always like the fact that he don't, like, I don't know when it struck me, but it was a couple award seasons ago when he was winning and all his accepted speeches was just straight Spanish. And it was like, listen, I'm not conceding to y'all. I'm not trying to cross over to y'all. You know, it was mad people in this world that speak Spanish. It's mad people in this world that fuck with me. I speak to my people. I'm speaking to my people directly. You know what I mean? I don't want to act as though or code switch or whatever you want to call it. Like, I'm talking to them and they fuck with me for that. And I always admired that conviction, you know. And then I seen, like, you know, the Nueva Yo video. He went in on Trump. You know, I thought that was, you know, I just think the cat is cool. He got, like, he seems to have a sense of humor. I know he's hosted SNL a few times. I know he's a wrestling fan, you know. So, like, I've bared witness to his celebrity. And like I said, peripherally, I know who the kid is. And I'm like, I like the pick. I thought that was going to be interesting. And yeah, that shit was a cool fucking, it was a dope show. It was a dope show. I liked the set design was fly. The dancing was fly. They was moving. They were getting to it. You know, like the color scheme, you know what I mean? It was a moment, you know. Initially, I was like, I don't know why they got Lady Gaga in here. You know, I felt like, I thought he was going to keep it all away. I felt like a concession, but then later on, I found out that, you know, he really is a fucking huge Lady Gaga fan and they friends and shit like that. So it wasn't like some compromise or whatever. And then allegedly, I'm not sure how true this is, but the words right before he gives it, like before it pans to Lady Gaga, it's like, is this what you want? Is this what you want? Is this what you want? And it pans to, you know, Lady Gaga, a white woman singing in English. You know what I'm saying? For a hot second. Like, here you go. You know, because that's what y'all want. And then it cuts back to them doing them. But overall, shit was cool. I enjoyed it. It was a vibe. It was a vibe. I'm not one of these people that's upset. I'm from New York. You know what I mean? Like, listen. There's Spanish. That's some New York shit. That's some deep level black New York shit. Call it Latino Spanish. And it's just like, that's the language. You know what I mean? Like, it's Dominicans, Puerto Ricans. It's a whole spectrum of Latinos or whatever. But I'd be like, yeah, that's my homie. He's Spanish. Or da 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 da. So long story short, I grew up with a lot of quote-unquote Spanish friends. Not the friends part, but Spanish. You know, a lot of Latinos. You know what I mean? So, like, I've been around Spanish music of all types. You know what I mean? Forever, you know? And as close as I am to all of these Spanish friends of mine, I still don't speak much Spanish. I can understand. I could get a gist. I got, you know, a little move. I can move around a little bit. But just like with anything, especially here in New York, like there's so many people that speak so many different languages. It's just part of the, I don't say the fabric, but it's just, yeah, it's part of the, for sake of another term, the color palette, the spectrum of this city, you know? And like I said, I don't know what everybody is saying, but I could get a context. I can know, okay, this motherfucker upset. Or they talking about that, or da-da-da-da-da. I'll learn a few words. And, you know, that's just the beauty of navigating the world. Like, this is a worldwide city, and sometimes you could forget there's people that are from like the middle of this country that are like really void or devoid of culture just in general. Like they don't get to experience it. Their whole shit is just like a monoculture. And it's almost like they dig their feet into it. There's no desire to experience more, to learn more, to open up, you know what I mean? To you know. They're like, it needs to be like this. And we're in a like culturally, we're at a time where a lot of those people have a lot more say. Or I don't even say have a lot more say. They're just loud, you know. And yeah, we do have a, we are politically in a time where ignorance is platformed, and ignorance is like people are relishing in their ignorance. There's no shame in the ignorance. People are proudly stupid and dumb and closed-minded, you know. And at the same time, they doing things that are like so fucked up to people humanity-wise. At the same time, they still want to be the victims, still want to come across oppressed, and still want to come across as if they're losing things. What are we doing? We're losing the fucking halftime show. I can't believe this. This is a tribute to America and American values. We're losing this. This is the beginning of the end. You lost a 15-minute halftime show. Hey, you didn't lose it. The shit is there for everybody to check out. You know what I'm saying? Get your Shazam on, get your fucking Duolingo on or whatever. If you want to participate, you could participate. It's there. You know what I'm saying? It's not being gatekept from nobody. It's available for you to explore it. But sometimes these people, man, they're so like closed off and, you know, like just... yeah, just so fucking closed off and like, I don't know, like just stuck in, they're just obstinate. It's just such a fucking like, it's sad. It's sad. Like when you hear them bitching and complaining about something as silly as that, something that's like, that don't mean shit, but they look the other way when all this other shit is going on. You're just like, man, this, the U.S. broadly is embarrassing. Some of this shit that's going on is fucking embarrassing, dog. But, you know, anyway, I don't want to go too far into all of that. You already know how I feel about a lot of this shit, but it's goofy. Long story short, shout out to Bad Bunny. You know, shout out to the, you know, the show. I thought the shit was good. It was a good time. I seen he brought Ricky Martin out. Ricky Martin looked like he was happy to be on stage rocking again. You know, yeah, motherfuckers actually got married on the show. That's kind of cool. You know, hopefully they last. I don't know why I had to add that. Hopefully they last. I don't know why I'm always with that shit. Hopefully they last, though. Salute to that couple and, you know, whatever. But, yeah, that shit was cool. What did y'all feel about it? Let me know in the comments. Thanks to the people that have been commenting and hitting me in the DMs and all of that shit. Keep the conversation going. You know what I mean? Because I literally, talking into this mic, it feels like I'm speaking into a void. So whenever y'all hit me back, yo, I heard this or da-da-da-da-da, that was funny, or this, that, yo, and what about this? And, yo, it's encouraging. So, you know, yeah, get in the conversation for sure. Don't stop just here. But with that said, what did you think about the halftime show? Did you enjoy it? What did you think about the Super Bowl? Are you from Seattle? Are you from fucking somewhere in New England? You know what I mean? What you think about the commercials? I felt like Super Bowl commercials really falling off. And I don't know if it's because I'm older and I'm not big on consumerism like I used to be or whatever, but like a lot of these commercials is some bullshit. I know I was a little tight. I put a pan of brownies in. Soon as I did that, they hit me with back-to-back healthy fucking commercials. Mike Tyson's eating apples. I'm like, yo, you nigga, you killing yourself. But come on, Tyson. Take it easy, nigga. You used to sleep with a tiger. But, you know, it is what it is. A lot of people are talking about that Ring Cam commercial, the Ring Cam technology that's going to help you find your dog. Get the fuck out of here. When I seen that, I was like, oh, they on some bullshit. They are on some bullshit. But we, you know, it's funny that a lot of people are like, this is ridiculous. Like, it's going too far, as though we ain't been under surveillance for a while now. You know, and shit, yeah, we should still be in resistance to the surveillance, and hopefully we push some of that shit back. But it's like, man, the toothpaste is out the tube like a motherfucker. ever since 9/11 damn near, and probably before that, but 9/11 when they had to, you know, they spun the whole Homeland Security. Boy, they've been killing us. And I used to always feel so old school, because especially if I look online, everybody like, I mean, everybody talk about this privacy shit. They already got your stuff. What you talking about? It is what it is. Fuck that, man. I would love to be able to walk in anonymity, but that ain't what it used to be. You know what I'm saying? That ain't shit. We ain't anonymous no more. We are on camera everywhere we go. I guess for some good, but also I just being surveilled is it's crazy. But yeah, that Ring cam, they talk about, yo, everybody in the neighborhood got this technology. If you got a Ring cam, we can use advanced technology to find your dog if your dog is missing. First of all, if you can find a neighborhood dog, you can find everybody in the neighborhood, because the dogs don't even interact with facial recognition like that. Dogs ain't even really part of a registry until you post the missing sign. Oh shit, Trigger? That's his name. I ain't even know the dog name was Trigger. Oh, what's that? That's the Labrador, the brown Labrador from down. Oh, that's David Trigger, huh? Interesting. Ellington? That's the dog's name. Ellington? Okay, little schnauzer named Ellington. That's a long ass name for a little ass dog. But anyway, okay, that's what's up. Yeah, so now they got the technology to where they could find your dog. Not you, but they could find your dog. Listen, they are clocking you. They got to walk through. I'm still a dude that goes, when I go to the airport, even though I got TSA pre, and I probably, Ben gave away all my information and shit, because I got the global entry. I know they took my fingerprints, I'm pretty sure, if I remember. I don't do the photo. When they say, hey, stand in front of this, let me take a photo, I always opt out. Let me come over here. Look at my ID. That's me. Listen, I might be really just amusing myself at this time. Like, come on. They got me. There's cameras all over the place. But I just, I don't like it. Just something about that. I made a mean-ass chicken soup, a mean chicken noodle soup this weekend. It's my first time ever buying egg noodles. I've had egg noodles in my house since I was a kid, but I've never went out and bought egg noodles ever in my life, I don't think. I bought spaghetti, I bought ramen, but egg noodles is very mature. I bought some egg noodles. I don't even know how much egg noodles go for. I know they couldn't have been that expensive, because they always look like, you know, they look like a pantry staple. Certain things that are pantry staples, they don't have no reason to be expensive, and they will surprise you when they are. We get the fuck out of work. That's how much this shit costs. The egg noodles was cool, so I made a mean ass chicken noodle soup with some old rotisserie chicken, and I'm not rotisserie. It's an old roasted chicken. I shredded the chicken breast, and I hooked it up with a bunch of shit. You know, the soup game. Soup is always fly. You know what I mean? You could just throw, it's forgiving. You throw a whole bunch of shit, just taste your way through. Be like, this is it. This, that shit. That shit was fantastic. You know. Anyway, I just felt like that needed to be talked about. I got a question. This is we bringing back the speculation report. Maybe this is more so just hopeful. So a lot of people been talking about Kendrick at the Grammys with that little, what I thought was just a bandage over his hand, over his left hand, I think, over his left. I thought it was just his hand was bandaged up, but then I realized later on that it was wrapped as a boxer would have their hand wrapped. And you know, Kendrick is deliberate as fuck. He don't do nothing for no reason. And I thought maybe he had fucked his hand up, but now that I see it's wrapped, it feels like, okay, we're unfolding a new story, a new chapter. Especially after I heard somebody make the point that the last Grammys, he wore the Canadian tuxedo, and then he dropped GNX, even though, I mean, I guess the Canadian tuxedo was to, you know, show he won the war with the Canadian tuxedo, you know, Gene on Gene. But that was the thing. Even though GNX really had nothing to do with Drake, that was like the nod to, yo, I got another project coming. Is there a new Kendrick project? Do you think they think that he's hinting at a new project? And if so, is it coming anytime soon? I see Baby Keem is supposed to be coming on the 20th, so I feel like he probably going to let his cousin live a little bit, even though they're in two different tiers. I think he's going to let his cousin live a little bit, and obviously J. Cole just dropped. But then, add to that, Jay-Z at the Super Bowl had a hoodie on that said, "The game needs me." Now, I don't know if that was just a Super Bowl flex, being that he's like, you know, been doing all of the entertainment directing with Roc Nation for the last, what, 7 years or whatever. And I've heard, I'm not sure, this might have been his last year. Maybe that's, I don't know if it's an appeal to extend it or just, you know, pat yourself on the back. Like, I had a run. The game needs me. Look at this shit. Look at the ratings, whatever. Or is it, yo, the rap game needs me. You know what I mean? Can't leave rap alone. The game needs me. You know, I don't know. There's been talk for at least 2 years that, you know, Jay has been in the studio working and blah, blah, blah. And this man ain't put out an album since, I want to say, 2017. So it was almost 10 years ago since this cat dropped. This is probably the longest he's ever been between albums. I mean, you could say he's retired. I don't think so. I wouldn't mind hearing another Jay-Z album. I'm curious what direction it would go in. But do you think he's hitting out an album? Let me know in the comments. Let me know. Is Jay-Z, Kendrick, you think they're working on an album? Who do you think is more likely to put some... I mean, I don't even think that's really a question. I say Kendrick, honestly. But speaking of albums, J. Cole dropped. We talked about it briefly last week. You know, if you were anticipating it, how you feel about it? You excited? Double album, put it out. The Fall Off, finally, allegedly, the final album. You know, I gave it a listen. Say it's cool, it's solid. It's a J. Cole album. I honestly, it's a J. Cole album. I only gave it one listen. At first, it's a lot of J. Cole music. So if you're a super J. Cole fan, you should be excited. It's a lot of J. Cole music. Sounds like a J. Cole album. That first album, first side, he opened up, he's spitting. He's spitting like J. Cole spits. You know what I'm saying? Doing the you know, the witty shit, the click, the slick shit, whatever, whatever. Some of the beats is kind of becomes a little redundant. You know what it is with J. Cole's music to me? I think J. Cole, to me, he's very inhibited as a MC. You know, he's a dope MC. He talk his MC shit a little bit. But it still feels inhibited. Like, he don't really lean into the fucking full swagger of it all. It's still very, still feels responsible. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's a spirit of rap when you one of them, where you, like, pop your shit. Like, you gotta kind of test the boundaries of your reign, you know? And it kind of reminds me of, like, these restrained winners that I was just talking about, whether it's OKC or Seattle. It's like a new generation of restraint. And maybe I'm putting all of what I appreciate about rap onto this new generation. I'm still a fan, but I do understand, as an elder, I don't have the vote like I used to. You know what I mean? Or I guess I got a vote still, but I don't think I sway shit. You know what I mean? My delegation, we looked at his legacy votes. You know what I mean? It's the old head contingent. But yeah, sometimes I be looking at it, I'm like, I don't know. Where's the fucking, where's the over the top shit? You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, there's still some of this generation that'll give it to you, like Drake popping shit here and there in a certain manner. Kendrick is a little restrained too, but he's also like, it's different. You could tell he's diabolical. You could tell by that fucking, the bloodlust in that battle with him and Drake, that's where he pushed the shit. You know what I'm saying? It might not be a whole lot of chains and shit, even though he did have, I think he had a big ass chain at the pop out. J. Cole just kind of responsible. You know what I mean? Like it kind of goes against the context of hip hop. It's like this, hey yo, if need be, might be a wild example, but it's like this might sound crazy, but it's like condoms and porn. This is porn. You know what I'm saying? This is XXX. We don't need to be wearing birth control. You know what I'm saying? Y'all ran the tests, I hope. Let's get to it. This is supposed to be explicit. All of this responsibility. Take you out of it. Like, even on the one record where he was talking about the cat, I guess, from Fayetteville, who he got a problem with, who been talking all this shit, he go in on him, bitch ass nigga. You know, I don't usually call bitch ass nigga, but punk, you know, whatever. All of this punk bitch going in. And then at the end, he said, yo, I'm going to come back down there. We could shoot the fair one. Don't bring no guns. What? The fuck is you talking about? Wait a minute, nigga. You like a highly acclaimed national rap star. You just shit it on me here. And only niggas in the town know about me. You just shit it on me. Called my name out and all of this shit. Called me a punk bitch for about 16 bars. And you want to shoot the fair one? The fuck out of here, nigga. That's the thing. Like, it's like a governor. It's like riding the brakes too much on the car. You don't open up the engine. You it's almost like back to the apology shit. Like you talking all of that shit, but now let's have a sanctioned fight. Let's have a fair one in the streets. Don't bring a gun. Nah, it's weird to me. But the kid is super talented. One of the illest. Got a lot of like integrity and morals and things of that nature. So that's why, like, again, it's the, you know, like I said, he's responsible. Like, if I had a kid, I thought about this as I was listening to the album. I was like, yo, if I had a son or I had a daughter, had a child, had a baby, you know, young one, and they was like, J. Cole is my favorite rapper, I'd be like, okay, that's good. That's good. You know what I mean? Like, I almost don't got to worry. You know what I'm saying? Like, you going to be all right. You going to be all right, nigga. That's nice. That's nice. I'm glad you like J. Cole. That's good. You know what I'm saying? He was like, yo, nigga, 21 Savage. That's my favorite MC. Now I gotta watch this little motherfucker. We gotta talk more. You know what I mean? I gotta really be present in their life. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you did your homework? You did your homework? All right, now I'm gonna talk to your teachers. How you feeling? You all right? Anything on your mind? You sure? Okay, you know you could always talk to me. Okay. All right now. Keep that door open. You know, that type of shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? He told me, yeah, man, I'm a fucking NBA Young Boy fan. All right. Okay. Listen. Yeah, we need to spend some time together. So, yeah, let's go ahead. We're going to take a drive. We're going to go to the museum. We're going to go first Saturdays, early, 5 o'clock. We're going to go to the early section of it. And we're going to look at some of these exhibits. We're going to do our Black History Month daily work. You know what I mean? I'm going to inform you on somebody of the cloth, of the diaspora. You know what I'm saying? We're going to need to really be tapped in, because I need to make sure you make it, you know. If you say, yo, J. Cole, that's my favorite, I'm like, all right, son, that's good. I'm glad. I ain't got to worry. You're going to be good, I think. I hope. Anyway, I ain't got no kids, so I don't fuck it. I'll be bugging, nigga. It's just me in front of a microphone. I hope you enjoy this shit. I hope you ain't tapped. That's 40 minutes of this shit. I'm going to say this real fast. These are just a couple of quick things. We're going to talk about industry, and then we're going to get the fuck about it here. Let me stop rushing, actually. I've been listening to some good books recently. I do have to say listening to. I've been reading some good books, too. I do try to make the distinction because reading is a little bit more active than listening. Listening is cool. I typically, when I'm listening to a book, I put that bitch on timer and go to sleep to one of the chapters. I've been heavy on this thing. I don't know. I think I told y'all. I'm still doing my thing where I'm leaving the phone out the bedroom, waking up 30 minutes, nothing, silence, and then I get to the world. But I've been listening. I listened to two good books recently, not even on Audible, but like, what is it, Libby or whatever, through the library. You know what I'm saying? You can listen to audiobooks through the library, too, on the low. You know, I feel like the library might as well cut me a check or give me some type of elevated library card. The Wilderness by Angela Flournoy. I don't even know how you pronounce her last name. Black woman. I think she's from, like, Idaho or somewhere. I'm from the Midwest or whatever. This is her second book. Her first book is called Turner House, which I think I'm going to check out now. But The Wilderness was good. These are both two fiction books, two fiction joints. And I don't even do, I've been kind of getting back into fiction recently, too. Just to spark some creativity, I guess. You know what I mean? I like reading business books and memoir. But, like, fiction is cool just to kind of see the expanse of where people go with their imagination. It's kind of cool to tap into it. So yeah, I listened to The Wilderness. That was really good. I definitely recommend that. And then I also listened to The King of Ashes by S.A. Cosby, who seems to have a crazy fan base too. He's got quite a few books out, but this was the first book that I've listened to or come across of his. I'd seen it on popping up a lot on various best of lists or whatever last year, so I listened to that shit, and that shit was good. And the narrator, on the narrators on both, damn, I forget the women's names on The Wilderness. It's I think Angela does a little bit of the narration. Ashley Nicole Black, who was on Black Lady Sketch Show, and then Asia Naomi King, I want to say her name is, who's been on a bunch of shit. But the fly shit about that, particularly, all three of them went to junior high school together. That's kind of fly. And they all doing their thing, you know what I mean? And, like, they came to read for her book. Like, that's kind of fly. And they know each other since when they were back in the day. I think that's fire. And they're not from, like, you know, I don't know exactly where they're from, but it's not like a huge city where that's more common than some of these other places. But they all was, like, in the same junior high school, I think same grade, all of that shit. And now, boom, 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 they rocking with each other. I thought that was dope. And then I don't know the dude who narrated the S.A. Cosby book, but he was good. He was good. These Audible books, man, they could live and die by the narrator. You know what I mean? If the voice is annoying or they read funny, you know, whatever, it could take me out of it. And in both cases, they were well done. And I recommend both of those books. If you want to read them or you want to listen, King of Ashes and The Wilderness, I think they're both dope. This is an observation that I just peeped, just going to the barbershop for a while. My barber, and this is just for a long time, but like last couple cuts, I just paid attention. He always got YouTube music on. And I'm always like, yo, what's that? Oh, I'm Shazam and shit. You know what I mean? Like, yo, what? Yo, this is you? You made this playlist? He's like, nah, it's YouTube music. Word? YouTube music, I think, has more soul than, it has the most soulful algorithm than any of these algorithms. I don't really do too much Spotify. I used to hear Spotify was pretty good for discovery or whatever. I can't really speak to it, but I've heard that it's changed a bit. I know Apple Music's fucking algorithm is not good. It's not good. It's bad. I'm trying to think anybody else that I can think of right now, algorithm wise. YouTube got it though. YouTube, the algorithm, YouTube algorithm, that motherfucker is cool, soulful. You know what I'm saying? Like he the algorithm with the no requests sign and shit. Like he, you go in there, hear YouTube Music spin. If that's the DJ name, that's YouTube Music. He could have a spot. Motherfuckers coming from far and wide on a Wednesday to hear that motherfucker spin. It's like how Bobito was at the apartment on Monday. Like he gonna play some shit that you ain't never heard, and you probably ain't never gonna hear it again, and you don't hear it nowhere else. That shit gonna be rocking. YouTube Music. Let me know if you know about it. I don't even subscribe to it. But every time I'm there and I'm listening, I'm like, yo, this shit rocking. You know, I'm fucking Shazam, and I'm taking shit, creating my own playlist off this. I'm biting off the algorithm and all of that. Yeah, man. YouTube Music. On a music-related note, I've been listening to a lot of Donald Byrd recently. I've always fucked with Donald Byrd shit. He got some cool stuff. You know, Tribe sampled him. A bunch of people have sampled him. He got some fire shit. But what made me kind of go down like a little bit of a rabbit hole on some Donald Byrd was... somehow, speaking of YouTube, I was on YouTube and I came across a video of Donald Byrd doing Blackbird live at the Montreux Jazz Festival. And if you find this video, it's a quick video. My man, I don't know what machine that is, but it's like, it seems like a bass box. Because if you listen to the music, you might think he was on like the bass. You know what I mean? Like it's an actual machine. You know what I mean? Like it's a, you know, a synthesizer or something like that. But the, you know, the little, I guess it's the bass though. Brum, 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 brum. Brum, 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 brum. This nigga, yo, you gotta watch this video. This motherfucker is so on with that shit. And they start the video just following him. And all he's doing is just hitting that shit with his finger. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Nigga, yo, you watch that? Y'all gotta watch that shit. I'ma post the shit on the stories or something. That motherfucker is dead serious. And now I like the live version more now that I done seen his dedication. Boom, 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 boom. That motherfucker is going for it. But then I just fell into a whole rabbit hole of some Donald Byrd shit. I didn't even know Donald Byrd and Marvin Gaye got together for a couple records. Them shits is cool too. So yeah, man, fuck with some Donald Byrd. You know what I mean? Yeah, go ahead. Salute Black History Year. I forgot to say that last week. We kicked off Black History Year. We ain't never stopped. It's always Black History Year over here. But it's Black History Year, you know what I mean? And shit, go listen to some fucking Donald Byrd, you know? Read The Wilderness. Read The King of Ashes. Make yourself a good fucking chicken noodle soup with some wide egg noodles. I ain't never had no narrow egg noodles, but they explicitly said wide. They had extra wide, too. I was like, oh, well, this ain't rolling paper. Let me just get some regular. Let me get some accessible egg noodles. Let's talk about industry. Boom, 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 boom. The latest episode 5, season 4, episode 5. The episode name was called Eyes Without a Face. So basically, this episode, you know, Stern Tao is quickly on the verge of collapse. You know, they doing all of the shorting, and Tender seems to be doing well, better than expected. And that's going against, you know, the forecast that Stern Tao has been putting out to their people. So it's looking bad. Eric might lose that $10 million seed money, everything like that. Harper's kind of, you know, fucking, you know, bugging a little bit. So they fucked up money wise, and at the same time, Harper gets a call, which she doesn't reveal initially, that basically fucks her day up. But she doesn't reveal it immediately in this beginning point, but she's just now, she's on some shit. You know what I mean? What crawled up your ass? You know how people say that shit. What crawled up your ass? That's one of those. Something crawled up her ass. So like, yeah, so she's sick. And so boom. But she still feels like, nah, something's wrong with this tender shit. Something is wrong. They're hiding something. I don't know. I don't have anything that I could really grasp. Diker, yes, Diker is dead. Because I thought, I didn't know if he was dead or whatever. He is absolutely dead. So Diker's gone. The second article that was supposed to come out that was going to help build their case against Tender, that's nowhere to be seen, you know. And it's just like, it's going up in smokes. Meanwhile, Harper, like I said, Harper is like, I don't believe that I'm wrong. I don't believe I'm wrong. Eric is kind of like, yo, I don't know what to tell you, Ma, but shit is looking crazy. I'm about to lose this $10 million. You know what I mean? My kid's endowment that I just gambled. And Harper say, listen, just because you give your kids some money don't mean they're going to love you anymore. I was like, oh, shit. Harper always spicy with the tongue, but damn, I cut that motherfucker to the quick. He was sick. So, Sweet Pea. Sweet Pea, this whole episode is Sweet Pea the Sleuth. Sweet Pea is like, you know what? I feel you, Harper, and I think I got something. I'm feeling like we got just a little bit of thread here. I want to just fucking unspool this shit. I see something. Something's wrong, and I know what you're saying. Something's wrong. Let me fly out to Accra. Let me go out to Ghana, and let's really... Let me put some feet on the ground and really give my, like, you know, we went out to what, Sunderland, and we seen shit was all crazy. Or wherever they went, we seen things was, you know, sketchy, you know, as they say. So let me go out to Ghana and like, really dig around. And Harper's like, all right, bet. Let's all go, you know, me, you, let's go. Then Harper falls back. Quabena goes. Quabena and Sweet Pea go out there. To Ghana, right? And it's basically that is really what this whole episode is. Quabena and Sweet Pea just trying to tear through shit and like really expose Tender for being basically the shell company. Maybe not the shell company, but like, yeah, it's overvalued, it's way exaggerated, and I need to prove that this company is not worth everything that they're trying to say on this prospectus or whatever, what they're telling the market, because the market is eating it up. But this is a lot of smoke and mirrors. Now, that's honestly the gist of the whole thing. I will say one thing that I just thought was particularly funny, and this was like one of the most white girl things you could do, I guess, for Sweetie. I call her Sweetie. Sweet Pea. Quabena, African. He from Ghana. He go out to Ghana. He used to go out to Ghana a lot. Then he's here and there, but he's from Ghana. He go to Ghana, he like, you kind of like, yo, we could do this, we could do that. He kind of trying to, I would say, quarterback it or tour guide it. She was like, look, okay, you're from Africa. All right. You was this some prodigal son shit? Like, who cares? I was like, yo, that is the whitest shit ever to tell an African nigga. Okay, you're from Africa. Who cares? In Africa. That shit was crazy, nigga. Who gives a fuck? All right, so what? That shit was wild to me. Anyway, so they out there exploring and shit, trying to turn up some shit, turn up some stones, turn over some stones and things. And I guess a lot of people kind of like, yo, they getting a little too close. So one of the guys, Tony Day. I don't know. Tony Day. Tony Day might be. No, it's Tony Neal. Old school Tony Neal record. Record pool cat. No, Tony Neal might be a producer. Anyway, that's a long. That was a super ADD-ish tangent right there. So one of the guys that works that's been kind of put in place by Whitney and Tender, he kind of sees Sweet Pea is like snooping a little too close to the sun. So he sends some people at her, and this dude just comes in straight, punches her in the face. Bow! Punch her in the face. Hard as shit. So hard that she her head hit the back like a mirror, smashed the mirror, her whole shit is bloody. Quabin is on stage doing karaoke. She come out blooded up. He's like, oh shit, what happened? You know, she's still like driven. You know what I mean? She put some shit in her nose, stuff her nose. He like, yo, you think your nose broken? She was like, nah, she don't even consider it. She's just like, they wouldn't have bust me in my shit if I wasn't on the right path. We need to keep this shit going. Fuck all that other shit. We don't need to go to no urgent care, nothing. Let me get some of these tissues and just fucking restore my nose. She was like, I love my nose. My nose is one of my favorite, you know, features. Anyway, so she's sitting there. She's a little upset with Quabina because he was like, just very like, he's not as invested as she is. He's like, all right, so you find all this and what? That's kind of his, it's very glib, right? So she's a little pissed off about that. That's why they kind of separated for a second, but now they kicking it. She drinking a little bit, you know what I mean? They kind of opening up, you know, and then she also, this is the thing with Sweet Pea, and this is why she's so driven. Similarly, drive-wise, like as Harper is, feeling they got to prove something. And I'll explain the Harper thing in a second too. But like Sweet Pea's whole stain on her reputation was she was doing like the OnlyFans type of thing, right? And so much so that like a lot of people within her field, her colleagues and such, they was passing around her nudes like the old dog tape and Menace. You know what I'm saying? So it's like these people that she wants to respect her, they've seen her, you know, they've seen her naked. And even though it was her choice to do it, she still feels a way about it. She still feels like it has marginalized her in the business, which it definitely has. She says she's tried to get other jobs and nobody wants to hire her. And she feels like everybody is kind of laughing behind her back. So this like this really, she got to get a win. You know what I mean? Real quick, back to Harper. Turns out the call was Harper's brother calling to tell Harper that Harper's mother died. She fell down the stairs, rushing for an Amazon package. Fell down the stairs, whatever, and she died. And now we know that Harper and her mom's wasn't on the best of terms, you know, and it was a fraught relationship. And, you know, a lot of Harper's desire was to, like, really, as she says, become so undeniable that her mother will basically have to kneel at her feet, you know, because her mom's, I guess, counted her out. Or her moms didn't see her to be as successful as she has become. And you also see how, due to the fact that her relationship with her mother was what it was, we don't know nothing about the father, but the fact that the mother's relationship with her, as she says, the mother destroyed the brother, you can see that it affected Harper in a way to where she doesn't really know how to open up to people. You know, even when she needs it, like in this moment when she reveals to Eric, yo, my mom's died, and she's absolutely affected and grieving, she doesn't know how to process it. And neither one of them, because they're the tone of their relationship has been very close but standoffish, you know. They're intimate business-wise, but personally, they give each other space. And it's because both of them don't really know how to, I guess, deal with emotion and deal with emotional expectation and vulnerability and all that. So in this moment, like, you know, like she reveals that he's like, yo, you could come to me. You know, like he could have came to her. You know what I'm saying? You could come to me. And he's as close as he is to her and he's listening to her. Couple things happen. One, he kind of uses the moment to tell a story about what's going on with him and his daughter. You know, I guess in a way to appeal, but it was just like, maybe it felt more comfortable talking about something else that wasn't as emotionally heavy, or just, you know, maybe he just don't know how to just listen, give an ear. And then it was a moment where you could feel that, and I think it wasn't lost on either character, that Harper needed a hug or something. You know what I mean? She needed some type of consoling. It would have been cool if he hugged her. And you could tell that she kind of wanted a hug, but she ain't really know how to get to the hug. And he might have wanted to hug her, but he ain't know how to get. So it was just like, they were so close. They were like, they were hugging range. You know what I'm saying? And it was just like, it just wasn't there. So that was interesting. So anyway, back to Quabena and Sweet Pea. In Ghana, Sweet Pea knows is fucked up, and you know, Quabena, they just having liquor conversation. They chilling. They off the clock because they're gonna be back on the job in the next day. But they had a long day of searching, which led to being punched in the nose. So that they just talking and shit, you know. And then Sweet Pea's like, "Yo, did you see my nudes?" And Quabena is like, did you see the news? He's like, yeah, you know, I saw him. He's like, did you like him? And Quabena is like, I did not like him. I love the deflection. I did not like him. He's like, oh, really? Yeah. So you watch porn? He's like, oh, yeah, I watch porn a little something. You know what I mean? You know, you watch porn? Yeah, sometimes I watch porn. You know, kind of porn you like. He's like, oh, come on, ma. Listen, chill. Now, kind of porn you like? You know, she's still antagonistic, but they kicking it and they drinking. You know what I mean? Uninhibited. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, you know. No. Anyway. So, this motherfucker like, yo, I like that premium calcium. Oh, come on. Then he's like, yo, God forgive me, Dr. Umar. But I like the premium calcium. And she's like, oh, he's like, I like little small white women and this, that, and the other thing. She's like, interesting. Long story short, you know, you could feel the tension brewing. You know what I'm saying? They all young and horny. So as soon as I saw that they was flying to Ghana together, I had a feeling it was gonna go down. And sure enough, he walks her back to a hotel room. He's about to leave. She's like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Where you going? You know what I'm saying? And next thing you know, they get to it. They get to it. You know what I'm saying? You know, aggressive fucking. You know, but like, we're going to do this. And then we're going to, what they say, we're gonna do this one time. What my man say on, one time only. You know, fucking niggas in Paris the skating movie with Will Ferrell. Anyway, so they get that shit off. And at the next day, they're like, let's act like that never happened, blah blah blah. He like, what happened? Quabena been cool this whole season. I do think the kid is a cool cat, especially in how he handles these fluid work personal dynamics now with Sweet Pea and with Harper. Anyway, they go back out. They kind of start discovering more. They get a super lead. And then they call Harper. And she's kind of relieved because shit is looking crazy. It sounds good. Gives us just a little bit more daylight. We may be able to pull us. Anyway, long story short, Sweet Pea and Quabena fly back. Harper pulls up on Sweet Pea at her house just to see her because she heard about it. She sees her face. She's like, oh, it looks worse than I thought. And then they talking, and she says, yo, oh, this was the other thing before Sweet Pea had sex with Quabena. She was like, is Harper a good fuck? Which is interesting because there's a level of, I guess, competition or whatever, or just some nosiness and whatever. But anyway, so Sweet Pea says, listen, before he tells you or you hear it anywhere else, I slept with Quabena. You know what I mean? It was nothing. It's casual. He said what y'all had was casual. You know what I mean? You could tell Harper was a little struck by that. Like, oh, damn. You know what I mean? Because I do think that she's starting to like the kid. You know, but again, Harper got a weird way with emotions and feelings and vulnerability. So probably was going to be stunted anyway. Anyway, long story short, you could tell she was a little taken by that. She says, yo, Harper's like, can I come in? She's like, nah, I'm just going to go to sleep. I'm very tired. So they go their separate ways. You go into Sweet Pea's house. Sweet Pea's little apartment look good. You know what I'm saying? Like, she must have made some bread off of that OnlyFans, or maybe she come for money. I don't know. Anyway, she breaks down crying. I want to say that might be the end of it. I think that might be the end of the episode. It was a decent episode. Wasn't a whole lot going on. Like I said, it was really Sweet Pea on her sleuth gang, on her sleuth thing. I heard somewhere that they saying that this season is supposed to be inspired by 90s espionage movies. I'm going to like really look into that, what that means. Try to maybe even find that interview where they said that and if they reference anything. But I do notice that it has definitely expanded from the trading floor of Pierpoint and the, you know, the high stakes of just financial trading of it all. And it's kind of like it's turning into this whole, you know, spy and finding cover, you know, finding who's covering it. It's like getting broader. And it is, in my estimation, this particular episode, this felt to me like one of the weakest episodes of the season so far. This kind of felt like it was almost a cliche of itself. It didn't really advance anything. All of the characters kind of moved in predictable fashion. It didn't open anything new up. This episode was kind of but I still love industry, so I got hope that, you know, the rest of the season will be better. It'll get better. But I'm starting to feel like this tender, shortened tender and exposing tender plot, something exciting needs to happen, because it's starting to fall flat a little bit, especially for a show that moves with such a pace that it could kind of trigger or arouse a level of restlessness. You're like, all right, yo, what's going on here? You know, because it's like, you know, shows like a coke high. You know what I mean? You see people with a behind coke. They like, yo, all right, what we doing? What we doing? Where we going? Where we going? Where we going? Like, it feels, I'm starting to feel a little bit like, all right, where we going? What's next? What's going to happen? Like, it's starting to, it's just starting not to, it just feels like it's not going anywhere. Maybe that's me. Y'all let me know. Let me know what you're thinking of this episode of Industry, and let me know what you think of the Industry season 4 so far. And if you got any predictions and all that, you know what it is. Hit me in the, you know, the DMs, hit me in the comments, whatever, whatever. But shit. That's it. It's time to transform and roll out. You already know. I will say this. It's coming up soon. So if you in that Michigan area, that Ann Arbor area, that Detroit area, definitely that Ann Arbor area, I will be there at the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase February 26th through the 28th. Got, I want to say, 4 shows out there. You know, buy a ticket. Tickets are still available. Buy a ticket. We're going to have some fun. It's my second time coming out there. I had a blast last time trying to wild out. It's going to be cold as fuck, so shit. I'm trying to make it worth it. So come on now. Go to DamianLemon.com for tickets. You know, I got other ticket links on my Instagram page and everywhere else. Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase, February 26th to the 28th. More stuff to come. But as always, tell a friend to tell a friend. And even an enemy. To get in the conversation.
conversations.